I invite you to the passage we read earlier, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The title of the message is, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, which is found in the first clause of verse 1. Have you come here tonight with a troubled heart? Maybe you've come here tonight with all sorts of worries or concerns. Life is full of worries and concerns. We're told in the scriptures that we will have trouble. We are a troubled people from time to time. And God knows and understands that we at some point in our lives will be troubled in the mind and in the heart over many concerns. But our Lord is a God of comfort. He is a God of comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. He is a God of comfort. And he seeks to comfort his children when they feel troubled. And how many of you can testify when you've come into the church building and you've come with a troubled heart, that the word of the Lord has stilled the heart. The word is even just read. It doesn't have to be explained. But even just the word of God, when it is read, it can still the inner man. It can still the inner woman. And what a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit applies the word of God to our souls. That it de-troubles us, as it were. And we can find comfort in our Lord, who can deal with every case, with every need. My need, my case, my trouble may be different to yours. But there is one thing that we may all be troubled about, where we may all feel a sense in our Christian walk there can be an issue that comes into the heart and soul of a man, is about our future destiny. Whether we come to a point where we may be physically afflicted, and there life will maybe come to an end. And here, the Lord is a God of comfort. He speaks to his children. And sometimes we can fear as believers. We fear as believers sometimes. We become troubled about what may be our future, as we pass from this life to the next, when we have to face death. And is there anything beyond this life, we may ask? Well, the Lord gives us this text, and this word should still our soul, shouldn't it? It's a blessing, this word. It's often taken at funerals. It's often applied when of a loss of a loved one, or great concerns where of the church, what the church will have to go through and walk through. And as a people of God, is a word of comfort to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared a place for us in heaven. Amen. He has prepared it. And John 14 takes place on the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Between chapters 13 and 17, it is known as the farewell discourse. Jesus devotes himself to his own disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. And he shares the Last Supper with them. In chapter 13, verse 1, Jesus says that this is now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. And listen to this: having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Just in one more day, Christ would be going to the cross to pay for their sins. And he comes alongside his disciples, and he brings comfort from a heart of awesome love towards his followers. Jesus is not thinking about himself here. He's essentially not thinking about his sufferings and what he may go through. But in this particular moment, he seeks to bring comfort to his disciples, even though he knows what he has to go through. And what a blessing it is that Christ is thinking about his disciples, because he knows and senses that they have a troubled heart. And even Jesus has a troubled heart, right? Because we read that in verse 21 of chapter 13. It says, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit. And so if Jesus was troubled in spirit, how much more would the disciples be troubled in spirit? But this is the heart of Christ. This is his heart to his disciples, that he seeks to deal with them. He cares for them. And he seeks to bring comfort to their souls. You see, the expectation from the Jews was a political Messiah who would free Israel from Roman oppression. And so when Jesus announces he was leaving them and going to die, this would cause the disciples to have a troubled heart. But as Jesus would die and be raised from the grave in his atoning work, it will result in the salvation of many. John chapter 12 verse 24 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much gain. The salvation of many would be the result of his atoning work. It will produce much grain. So their troubled hearts are going to be informed why they no longer need to be troubled in the troubling times. Faith and trust upon his promises is what is needed. When trouble comes, faith and trust upon Christ's promises is the very remedy to a troubled soul. It is the remedy. It is your medicine. And so whenever you feel a sense of trouble or concern, that trouble should drive you to the scriptures. You should be driven to the promises of Christ, and there meditate on the promises of Christ. And so Christ gives these promises to his disciples. And so first see with me Christ's plea to believe. Christ's plea to believe. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The disciples up to this point in their life have become troubled. And they are troubled over a few things. They have become perplexed about whom Jesus spoke of, who would lift his heel against him. As they looked at one another, they were troubled, thinking, who could it be that would betray the Christ? In verses in verses 22 and chapter 13. It says, then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. And so they become troubled about the one who would lift his heel against the Christ. They must have also been worried because Jesus was troubled in spirit to see their Messiah troubled. It must have caused them trouble in verse 21. And in chapter 13, verse 33, they must have been troubled after hearing the words of Jesus saying, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come now, I say to you. And even Peter was told by Jesus in verse 38 that the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. So can you imagine all this happening in such a small space of time? No wonder the disciples were troubled. No wonder. This small group of believers had been called by Jesus to leave their old lives behind and to follow him. Yet to hear that he is going to not be with them in a little while longer and soon to leave them, it brings trouble to them. And sometimes, beloved, it seems at times that there are many troubles that come at once. Or they come one after another. And you find yourself in a season of trouble in the Christian life. But to everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. It was a time of worry in the midst of trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ seeks to bring comfort to his disciples. The disciples couldn't support themselves. Knowing that they were weak. So Jesus, in knowing what will happen to him, decides from his gracious and loving heart to serve them in love and to bring comfort. And so he does so by giving them hope, to stir up faith within themselves for their future. He doesn't leave them empty-handed, does he? He doesn't leave them to themselves. He doesn't leave them with doubts and fears. He doesn't leave them with no hope. He doesn't leave them in a state of panic or worry. No, he leaves them with promises that are to be believed and taken hold of by faith. And to trust Christ and his works. And that's the goal of the Messiah here. To his disciples. That he would speak to them these truths. And in response, they would believe him. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. We could say, set your mind at ease. Or cease from being troubled. Or stop letting your heart be continually troubled. And when the child of God has this spoken to them, what a comfort it is. It can immediately settle the heart to God's will and plan for you in whatever season your life is in. But not only does he command for a settled heart, he also provides the remedy. And it is a call to trust him, isn't it? You believe in God, believe also in me. And the construction of the Greek is a little bit confusing. Because we can read the two believes as in the indicative or the imperative. Or either or, as our version gives it to us. Our version says, you believe in God, indicative. Believe also in me, imperative. If we stick to our version, I think that's better considering the context of the disciples. Because they're troubled. And because they're troubled, in order for the disciples to move from a troubled heart to a heart of faith, they need to hear from Jesus himself that you need to believe in me. You need to believe in me. Why? Because Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, but they believe in God. Yes. And yet they can't even see God with their own eyes. But Christ has called them to believe in him whom they can see. Who is truly God and who is truly man. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So in the midst of the chaos that would soon take place, when Christ would suffer and die, they won't see him for a few days. And then later, he will ascend to the Father. And so Christ's call to the troubled heart is to believe upon him. To believe upon his sacrifice on the cross. Who paid the price that they deserve and we deserve. And maybe you're troubled. Like these people are, like these disciples. Maybe you're troubled about death, about dying. Maybe you're troubled over your sins. You're troubled over concerns you have for the church as a whole, or even this local church. You are troubled about what might happen or could happen or is happening. And he says to you tonight in the midst of your trouble, believe also in me. Believe also in me. Trust me. Put your trust in me. He has known you from the beginning. He knows you now. He knows your future. He has been with you up till now. Why would he leave you now? He never leaves nor forsakes his people. Yet despite all that may go on in our lives, because we know all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, it was lawless men, the men of Israel, the unbelieving Jews who instigated Jesus' death. And his death was carried out by the Romans by crucifixion. But that was not all, was it? Remember what it says in Acts. But also by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, God had predetermined that Christ would die for his people. His death secured salvation for his people. And that's why he came, to save his people from their sins. It's all for our advantage. That we would be saved and have life in him forevermore. That we would have eternal life. Christ. Crucifixion had made a way for us to enter into glory. And so we see that his death secured salvation for his people. That's why he came, to save their people from their sins. It was the disciples' advantage that he was leaving them. John chapter 16, verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So it was an advantage to the disciples that he would go, the helper, the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within them. And he wanted them to trust him, to trust upon the truth that he has given to them. And so Christ, here, it is his plea to his disciples to believe upon him, to believe upon him. Yes, they are going to see him go to the cross, to that with the Romans crucifying him. And they probably couldn't comprehend it in their minds. They were complexed about it in their brains. They couldn't quite square some things. They thought, the Jewish Messiah would destroy the Romans and that. But you see, he was going to die for them. All part of God's plan. Lawless men had their plan to get rid of him. But God had an awesome plan of salvation. And so he's saying to them, look, believe in me. Believe also in me. Well, secondly, let's see, Christ has prepared a place. Christ has prepared a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Christ tells him what is true. And I love this statement made by Jesus. He says, look, if it were not so, I would have told you. Yeah? Any different? I would have told you. Why? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. He said, if this is not a reality to you, disciples, I would have told you that. And what Jesus is saying, it means that he can't go back on his word. He can't go back on his word. And that's one thing that God cannot do. He cannot lie. And he wants them to know the truth. He wants them to know that the Father's house is heaven. The Father's house is heaven. Hebrews 11 verse 16 refers to it as a heavenly country. A heavenly country and a city, speaking of its size, its grand size as it were. It says, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The many mansions here means more accurately many rooms or many dwelling places. And what a comfort that is, beloved. Because if there are many rooms, there is ample room for me and for you. There's ample room. There's space for me and for you. His chosen people. It has been prepared by Christ. And we are not to think that we're going to get a big mansion. And a nice big long lawn and all sorts of things. No. The materialist would probably be prone to dwell on that. But the picture is all of God's people will be abiding together in God's house where he dwells among his people. John MacArthur writes in his commentary, he says, the emphasis is on heaven's intimacy, where the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them. It's a place of rest. Because Christ is there. There is no sin. There's no tears. There's no trouble. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no pain. And we can't quite comprehend it, can we? because all those things that I've listed we face now. But it's the place where Christ is, beloved. That's the most important thing. It's not about all the other extras. It's about Christ being in the centre, where we'll be in awe of him, and we will worship him. And Jesus says himself, I will go and prepare a place for you. Well, notice he says this before going to the cross. See, he went to the cross, beloved. And as he went to the cross, he made a way. He made a way whereby me and you can enter and that we would inherit eternal life. And to be in God's presence forevermore. He made it possible where we can be with Christ in heaven. He guarantees our salvation. Because he has defeated sin, death, and hell by his sacrificial death. And as he rose from the grave, And later on ascended into glory where his Father is. See, our place has been prepared for us because we are a people who have been prepared by Christ to enter that rest. Without him, without his sacrificial death, there would be no entry. No entry. We have been chosen. We are a chosen people. And I don't know why he's chosen you. And you could probably say the same. I don't know why he's chosen you. We're filthy, wretched in his sight. There's nothing good in me. Why would he want me with him? Because he's loved us with an everlasting love. We are a chosen people. We have been forgiven by him. We have our sins forgiven. We have been redeemed by and been given Christ's righteousness. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ. We are the ones who have been justified. And we have peace with God. That objective peace, we have peace with him. He looks at us and he's not wrathful to us. No, but his wrath was placed on his Son so that we would be freed from punishment. We have peace with God because of his person and the work of Christ. It is all of him. It is him who gave us the very gifts of repentance and faith. And we have received the Holy Spirit. And what a blessing it is. As a people, we have been prepared. And to receive grace upon grace. There is a place prepared for you. As we are a prepared people. The disciples weren't left alone. No, the help of the Holy Spirit will come and dwell within them. The Spirit of truth, who would abide with them forever. And us, beloved, he dwells within us and we are being sanctified. We are being prepared for heaven. He convicts us and leads us to truth. You see, in chapter 16, verse 8, It says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because of this ruler of this world is judged. Christ has secured a place for you. No one else, only Jesus. And it's forever. There's no time attached to it. It's permanent, it's fixed, it's secured, and it will not lack anything. It will not lack anything. And I wonder if these words have been sealed in your heart tonight. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let not your hearts be troubled, because you will be with him. You will be with him. It's not about the gold or the precious stones in heaven. It is about him. Jesus will be there. Our Saviour will be there, the Lamb of God, and we will worship him. And if a place is prepared for us, then he will come again to take us to that prepared place. And see Christ as a ladder, as it were, who takes us to heaven personally. And everybody that has been saved will enter in. He will return again at the end of time, beloved, to take us to the place prepared. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And also, when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our souls go immediately into Christ's presence. And death will be the very usher to Christ. And we will be at home with our Lord. Can you imagine Christ saying to us, welcome home. Welcome home. What a blessing for the Christian, for the troubled soul. As thirdly, see with me, Christ proclaims the way. Christ proclaims the way. Firstly, Thomas has some questions. He says, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. That's Jesus telling them. Then Thomas says in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And you think upon Thomas, or what he's just heard. He knows where Jesus is going. He's just told him, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So Thomas is doubting, and he wants to know a little bit more further. He wants to know the way. How do I know the way? What is the way? And it's just this lovely statement that Jesus says to him. And it's an answer to a confused disciple. So he says, how can we know the way? And Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, this is the sixth I am statement in John. The I am is the statement that was made to Moses in Exodus in chapter 3, wasn't it? When God revealed himself to Moses when he said, I am who I am. And Jesus is here, he's saying, I am. Jesus is truly God. He is God himself. He is deity. See, Jesus is the way. And we can think of it that Jesus is the road. Is the road. Early Christians in the book of Acts were known as the way. They were known as the way. Why? Because Jesus is the only way to God. And that's what they proclaimed. That's how they lived. That's whom they believed. And there's not multiple ways to God. No. There's only one way. There's only one way. And that is through Christ. Christ said, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He is the door. There is salvation in no one else. There's one way, there's one entrance, and that's through Christ. Every other religion is dead. Every other so-called God, lowercase g, is dead. And those who find their pathway on a false religion, it will lead them to hell. It will lead to hell. Salvation is by Christ. He is the way. He is the way. People don't like hearing this. People hate this truth. People like to think that there are many ways to heaven, many ways to be saved. We speak to people that they say these things. Well, isn't God a bit narrow-minded if you think like that? No. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has declared it. He is God. He is the way. Many people think that they can go to all sorts of ways and reach the same destination. No. He is the only way. Christ is the only way. And also, he is the truth. The truth. He is the truth. John 18, verse 37 says, it says, Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Are you a king then? And Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of truth hears my voice. Then Pilate said to him, What is truth? Truth was right there in front of him. Christ, he is the truth. About John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the truth. He is life. John chapter 1 verse 4. It says, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John chapter 5 verse 25 to 26. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, So he has granted the Son to have life in himself. These are precious words. And because he is the life, he can also give life to those who believe. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 10 verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, says Jesus, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. But Jesus, he is the life. He is the way for salvation. He is the way to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Life without him is no life at all. And he's telling his disciples afresh, follow me. Follow me. I am the way. I am the way. Don't be troubled. Yes, I am going, but you will receive the Helper, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And there he would dwell in their hearts. And there he would prepare a glorious place for them in glory. He's telling them to keep on following in the way. If we deny Jesus as the way, the truth and the life, then what will happen to those who do deny him? Well, all that will be prepared is hell itself. Hell will be prepared for those who deny him. And the only way you can be prepared for glory and to have new life in Christ is to trust your whole life to Christ, to believe, to repent, and to believe upon Jesus Christ, the one who has prepared a place for you. Do you fear dying, beloved? I remember it was R.C. Sproul that was asked the question. He was asked the question, do you fear death? And he says, I don't fear death. But he said the process of death is another thing. It's another matter. And that is true, isn't it? We don't fear death, but we don't know what the process is, what we may have to go through. We don't know about our walk or the process that we will have to walk of dying. But we know this. For a troubled heart tonight, to have assurance in the soul, and go from here tonight with an assurance within and a deep confidence and trust in him that he has prepared a place for you. Because he has saved you. He has given you new life in Christ Jesus. And has washed you from every sin. And you have life in him. And also, he has removed the very sting of death. And he will carry us through to be with him forevermore. Forevermore. And so, I leave you with these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Let us take sweet comfort of those words. Amen.